invite you for the next little bit of time to set aside whatever desire for capital T truth that you might be holding right now. Leave the debate on whether this story actually happened, whether there was such a woman as Mary, whether angels, or for that matter, God, exist. We know that the Bible is a set of stories written by humans who may or may not have been divinely inspired. I invite you to let this story simply be a story, to hear my words as metaphor, to join me on a journey of wondering. I want to start that journey with this moment the archangel describes, Mary's, quote, last ordinary moment, dividing all the days before from all the ones to come. I imagine that many of us have had at least a moment like that in our lives, maybe lots of little ones, maybe a few big ones, maybe not such a dramatic last ordinary moment, but at least a moment in which we were launched into something that we were utterly unprepared for, that changed our lives and maybe even changed who we are from there on out. I've had several of them. The moment in 1989 when I read the article that explained the growing hole in the ozone layer of our atmosphere that broke my ability to live the shallow and selfish life that I was living then and launched me into my eventual career as a plant ecologist. The moment in 1995 when I said yes to the person who asked me to marry them that changed me into a partner in somebody else's life. And the moment in 2016 when they told me they needed to not be married to me anymore, that changed me back to a person who moves through the world without a partner. The moment in 2005 when I learned I was pregnant that turned me into a nurturer. The moment in 2008 when I sat in on my first seminary class that made me realize there was a path before me I had never even imagined was possible. All of those moments between before and after required that I agree to what was on the other side of them, whether I knew what was on the other side or not. And I will share with a bit of a sense of understatement that some of those moments were easier than others to say yes to. Some of them, I'm still working on that yes, being a full yes. A beautiful and awful yes, an embracing of the time after the moment, even now. You're probably already thinking about your moments. I invite you to take a breath. And another. Find a way to be aware of your connection with Earth through your feet or your seat. Whatever part of your body is closest to the floor. Let yourself feel your groundedness, your connection to Earth and all of us around you in whatever way we are around you. Let your body remember through these connections that you're not alone, and through your ears that you're not alone. We are here. We are holding you in care. Keep breathing. And then let one of those moments come to your mind and heart, one of those moments of your own between all the days before, from all the ones to come. Keep breathing as you remember the feeling of that moment. Was it excitement, fear, certainty, anticipation, affirmation, something else entirely? Keep breathing. And then recall the moment you moved into the after on the other side. the moment that you said yes. And take another breath. Remember the feeling of groundedness, of companionship, of presence. And bring your heart and mind back to this room, to this space. These moments can be frightening. And the most frightening thing about them, I think, is the sense of not knowing that comes with them. We wonder, what is next for me? And what will I do? And what can I do? It can be so very hard to say yes when the mystery of what that yes will mean is the biggest thing in front of us. In the blog post in which she shares this poem, Jan Richardson introduces it with this brief reflection. She writes, "When Mary says, 'Let it be,' to the archangel, it is an act of radical surrender. She offers her yes, not with the meek passivity that history has so often ascribed to her. This kind of surrender is not born of weakness, but a daring strength within her and a stunning grace that shows up to sustain her. Mary's surrender is deliberate, the choice of a woman ready to give herself to the sacred with such abandon that she agrees with intention to give up every last plan she had for her life." She continues, "Mary's audacious yes propels her into a dark way. She sets out on a path almost completely devoid of signposts or trails left by others. She chooses a road utterly unlike any she had imagined for herself. What must it have been like to walk a way she could barely perceive, while carrying within herself, in her heart and her womb and her bones, a light unlike any the world had ever seen?" The season in the Christian liturgical calendar that comes out of this story, this audacious yes, is called Advent. A four-week period in which our Christian siblings reflect on themes of hope and peace and joy and love, while they are waiting for the day that they get to celebrate the coming of one of their holiest moments, the coming of their Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God is with us. And so the literalist version of this phrase means they are celebrating the physical birth of the incarnation, right? The God made flesh to live among them for a time. I tend to be a little more metaphorical than that. So when I hear Emmanuel, God is with us, I think more about the life and teachings of a person named Jesus that helped us show the humans of his, that helped show the humans of his time how they might live in a way that makes it possible for God to be with them. Or in a way that brings them into right relationship with each other and all that is around them, or in a way that's more closely aligned with their beliefs or values. Rejoice, the song says, Emmanuel shall come within as love to dwell, as truth to dwell, as light to dwell, as hope to dwell. This is an invitation to return with joy to the mystery that is the sacred guidance we can find in our hearts when we say yes to those themes of Advent, those themes of hope and peace and love. The waiting part of Advent is intentionally an echo of Mary's waiting for her child to be born. Our Christian siblings bring this time to their hearts and minds so they might remember what it is to wait, to anticipate something amazing. In this moment narrated by Gabriel in the poem, Mary doesn't know what will happen during the journey of her pregnancy. How will her fiancé react to the news? In her times, the laws say a woman should be stoned to death for having sex outside of marriage. How will her community respond to her unmarried, pregnant state? Who will be there for her and for them as she adjusts to this new thing, not just the new thing of carrying and bearing any child, but the child of God? And she must, or she might, at least be thinking ahead to when that child is born, just as I did when I was growing mine. What would be in store for her? What would the child's life be like? How would she be able to support them? All Mary knows in this moment is that she's going to have to wait and let it all unfold. And because of her interaction with this angel, she knows she's been chosen for this and that it's going to be amazing. Can that be enough? Because Mary didn't write anything that got published, at least that we know of. We can only guess, right, if it was enough for her. We are led to believe, of course, that her faith is so strong that yes, it is enough. But what about for us? Can it be enough in those moments between all the days before and all the ones to come to know that we're just going to have to wait and see? This is another piece of Advent. My colleague, the Reverend Kimberly Debus, shared this in a reflection on the song, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, a couple of years ago. She writes, Advent becomes even more important now because in the midst of this frenetic season of more, Advent asks us to stop, to be still, to give thanks. It asks us to be present and wait for the light to be born, to return. And it asks us to be present with and for each other. Advent, she writes, asks us to be a light for one another. These are things we can learn and practice. Waiting is easier when we have company. Facing the mysteries of what is to come is easier when we're not alone. And friends, we are never alone. Even archangels benefit from the courage of others in the face of not knowing. It was she who saved me. Her first deliverance, her let it be, not just declaration to the divine, but a word of solace, of soothing, of benediction for the angel in the doorway. And so I offer you another piece of the Christian story around the birth of Jesus, the story of the three magi who follow a star in the east until they find the new family soon after the birth. The magi had actually been sent by Herod, the king that was feeling threatened because the newborn Jesus was already being talked about with the title King of the Jews. There is nothing that frightens those in power more than the possibility of losing that power. Herod told the Magi to come back to him. He sent them out and said to come back to him and tell him where Jesus was so he can go and pay his respects, which of course was not his plan. When the star stopped, as the Gospel of Matthew tells us, quote, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Magi had their own moment of before and after, and their yes was this new sense of loyalty to the newborn king, who was their incarnation of their God to being in right relationship, to living their values. And so as we take in the lessons of Advent, stop, be still, give thanks, wait for the miracle of new birth, of returning light. As we take in those lessons, we can also remember the mystery of a moving star, a star that guided people to the one who would offer them a moment of transformation, that turned them, that moved them to turn toward right relationship with their God and their people. We too find a guide in the story of Emmanuel, or we can. The story of God is with us, however we hear that. And we can be inspired by the courage of Mary's audacious yes. Whether or not we believe these things actually happened, as we learn to open ourselves to whatever might be ahead of us, in the good company of each other, and held by the love that surrounds us. May it be so, and may we be so.